All right. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 is where I'm going to be. And let me just pray one more time, just real quick, about the word. Father, be with your word. Go out with it. Take it, apply it to lives in the way that you can, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. Just kind of set the table for us when Barnabas and Saul had finished with their little relief effort, and we didn't spend a lot of time on that with the little journey there to Jerusalem to bring an offering. They came back, this is verse 25, chapter 12, they came back, and they also had with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, I just want to point out a couple of things about John, whose surname was Mark. According to Colossians 4:10, he was a cousin of Barnabas. And so the reason I'm pointing that out is because it's going to, there's going to be something later on, and then there's going to be a deal where I'll make a bigger deal about it later on. But it says in the church that met, that was at Antioch. Also, I have to relay that the church has, from here on in the book of Acts, a home base of the church is going to be at Antioch. This is the home base of the Gentile church, but this is the home base. The church of Jerusalem is no longer going to be it. They'll be the home base for the Hebrew people, Israelites, but not for for you and me, the Gentile. Now the church was at Antioch, and there were certain prophets and teachers. So there were these prophets and teachers there, and this is them. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, I just want to stop there for just a second, because this Manaen, who was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, he may have been like a brother. He may have been just a really close friend. But let me tell you something. He was brought up, remember we went through Herod the Tetrarch's family last time. They were all murderers. They were a big bunch of murderers. They tried to murder all the babies. This was his grandfather, great-grandfather, murdered all the babies there in Jerusalem, murdered John the Baptist. And it didn't stop there. They just murdered and murdered and murdered. And he is a good friend of Herod the Tetrarch. Herod the Tetrarch, we know that he murdered Stephen and James. It just was good to him. Murder was the thing about it is Manaen grew up with him, and Manaen is a pastor and a teacher in the church. You are never, never so far from God that his grace and his mercy can't touch you. You're never so far from God that he can't reach you. He can't reach down, and he can't get you, and he can't take you, and he can't bundle you up, and he can't make you well and whole and right. He can do it. And he might be going to do it today. Today, he might be going to do it. The Holy Spirit, they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and Holy Spirit said to them, "Now separate from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed, and they laid hands on them, and so they sent them away. So here they fasted and prayed, and God said, we're gonna take Saul and Barnabas and Saul, not Saul and Barnabas, not yet. It's still Barnabas and Saul. That is important, by the way. Not really, but it is. Barnabas and Saul, we're going to set them out to do the work that I've called them to do. And when they laid their hands on them, they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and sent them far away. It was a sign that they had been released from their responsibilities at the church. And because they had been released from their responsibilities at the church, they were then free to go and to be the disciples that God had called them to be. And he just said, just free them. Just free them so that they'll... Billy said this morning, they sang the song, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." And he asked them if they had their passport. He said, "You can't sing that song unless you have your passport. You know, it's right. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Do you have a passport?" "Yeah. Might need to get one." "I might not, but you might. You never know." So then we're going to take it up in two main parts of Scripture. And the first is in chapter 4 through 12. They first came to Cyprus. Having been sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed away and they came to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues and the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, this is important. John is their assistant. They brought him back from Jerusalem. He's not listed as a prophet or teacher. He does go with them. He has an assistant, probably just like a gopher, just a guy who ran around and did some things. Let me read it. "Now, when they had gone through the land of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." Kind of unusual name, means the son of Jesus. Jesus was probably a more common name than we give it credit for. So, he was a false prophet, son of Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. An intelligent man, this man called for Barnabas and Saul, and he sought to hear the word of God. He called for them. He wanted to hear the word. These guys are teaching something strange and new, and he called for them. But Elymas, the sorcerer, was translated, withstood them, seeking to turn them and the proconsul away from the faith. So whatever he did, he was seeking to turn the proconsul away from faith, even though the guy had called Barnabas and Saul and asked to hear more. And, you know, because I've read ahead, and you can too, but because I've read ahead, I would hate to be the guy who tried to lead other people astray. I would hate to be the guy who caused other people not to believe. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of deceit and fraud, you are of the devil. You enemy all the righteousness, you will not cease perverting the straightforward way of the Lord. And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." He made him blind. He struck him blind. He struck him so that he couldn't see, because he perverted the gospel. He perverted the truth, and he wouldn't let people come to know the truth. And so he perverted that, and so God struck him blind. The proconsul then believed. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. He believed in God because he saw what he had done. So then they went to Pisidia. Now, this is the heart of the sermon. It's the heart of the chapter. He got to Pisidia. It's Antioch and Pisidia, not Antioch where the church was. First of all, let me just put this in. John left. Why did he leave? I don't know. We don't know. We can only conjecture. Anybody who knows can only conjecture about it. But John left. He waved his hand. He listened. He said, God chose our fathers. This is in verse 17. God chose, the God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers. I'm going to just read through, just go through this here. God chose Israel. He chose them to be a nation that he would bless. He chose them to be a nation of people. They were strangers in the land of Israel and the land of Egypt. They were strangers there. And God, with a mighty arm, delivered them. You know the story, the 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, and he delivered them. And then he put up with some of them, put up with most of them, for 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness, he put up with them. He didn't matter, all that other stuff. The fact is, he wanted to do God's will. Most of us, let's be honest, we don't even want to. You see, David, when he knew something was God's will, he would go for it. He would maybe kind of get ahead of God sometimes, maybe not, but he would go for it. He would do it. He would get in there and get after it. And for us, not so much. From this seed, from the seed of David, will come Jesus. The guy who, not the guy, will come Jesus, the Savior of the world. Our Savior, my Savior, your Savior. He gave us John the Baptist, who came also from him. Verse 26, men and brethren, sons of the family, Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you this salvation has been given. John the Baptist, the man who said, I'm not worthy to unlatch. The one who comes after me is preferred before me, and I'm not worthy to unlatch his sandals. He is the one. He's the Savior of Christ the Lord. Verse 30 is the key verse in that. But God raised him from the dead. You see, Jesus was crucified, and he went to the grave, and he came out of it. And he came out of it showing that that death on that cross was acceptable to God for our redemption. It was acceptable to God for our salvation, and he raised him from the dead as proof of that. Listen, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus could have lived the exact life that he lived. He could have been who he said he was. But if he had died, if he had stayed dead, we're still in our sins. Doesn't matter that he was a sinless Son of God. If he had stayed dead, then we're still in our sins. The fact is, God raised him from the dead. And because God raised him from the dead, we have found a new way and a new life. John 38, chapters, verses 38 and 39. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law. Listen, when he raised from the dead, he did two things. First thing he did was he forgave us. He forgave us of everything. He forgave us no matter how bad. There is no sin so bad. There is no, we don't get so far away from God that God can't rescue us, that God can't redeem us, that God can't take us from there. But the truth is, most of us here are not that way. We're not so far from God. We're just apathetic. We just blow it off. We just pretend like it's no big deal. And listen, that is sin. God, that is sin. Rejecting Christ as Savior, that is sin. And he justifies us. Now, I knew better than to do it, but I did it anyways. I tried to teach the kids what justification is. I get confused myself. Justification is simply this. It's that act where God declares us righteous. God declares us righteous. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God declares us righteous. He says, you're righteous. He says, I declare it. I don't know it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. God declares it. You are righteous. You and I are righteous. And it's time that we started living like that. It's time that we let that change our lives and change the way we live. The interesting thing is that that is two things that the law could not do, especially declaring us righteous. The law could forgive us. The law could bring us forgiveness of our sin, but the law could not declare us righteous. It couldn't. It couldn't. God does. And Jesus did that by the resurrection of the cross. So when the Jews went out from the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them again on the Sabbath day. And on the next Sabbath, skip down to verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. This is, once again, Luke giving a status of the church, and almost all of the Gentiles wanted to hear it. And we can see in steps that the word is going to the Gentiles. 48 and 49. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, the word of the Lord. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. I can't explain it. I really can't. But I just believe that it was happening, that it was so. But God chose, and they were appointed to eternal life, and they believed. God had his way. You know, there's an element where we don't even seek God, where we don't know God and we don't seek God. We don't have it within us to seek him. Only God can do that. Only God can even make us want him, even make us seek him, even make us desire to be with him. Do you desire that? Do you desire that? Don't tell him no. Don't turn your back on him. Don't say not today. Don't put it off. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It's the last verse. Joy and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, one of them is joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Love, joy. Joy. God gave us his son and raised him from the dead so that we could have eternal life. Today is a day. Today, if he is calling, today, if he has appointed you, today, if he is drawing you, then today is the day. Stand up with me if you would. What are we going to sing, brother? Wherever he leads, I'll go. It's another one of those passport songs. Gosh, they're everywhere. I don't know where you are, what God is doing in your life, but wherever you are, whatever God is doing, you come. This morning is the time. You come. Just come.